Okay, I think we can start. I wasn't a party yesterday, so I don't expect more people. Now I remember what happened. So, okay, welcome everyone. I will talk a little about game development in HTML5 today. So let me first of all introduce myself. My name is Michał Budzyński. I work for Mozilla as a Firefox OS developer. So I'm in here more like an undercover spy on this conference. I live in Paris now, where I eat snails and frogs and other French things. But I'm from Warsaw in Central Europe, from the capital of Poland. And I organized On Game Start. That's the first large-scale HTML5 gaming conference. We already had three editions. First one in 2011 in Warsaw, the second one in Warsaw as well, a year after that, and the third one was this year in March in New York. And I love to do stupid things for the web, like, okay, I will talk about this one later, but I'm addicted to all the TV shows, okay, most of the TV shows. So I run a GitHub repository with the list of all my shows. So if you want to, like, if you watched some show that I didn't, you can fork my repo and send me a pull request with that. I will show you the address later. Okay, but let's talk about games. So people often think that HTML5 gaming is something quite new, like, but because we have this HTML5 hype for like 3 years so far, maybe not even 3 years. But that's actually not true, so let's talk about a little bit about the history. So JavaScript itself was created in like 1996, 1997, somewhere around that. And the first games were made just after the JavaScript was created by a guy, okay, that's the oldest one I could find online. The guy called Scott Porter from UK, and he ported a lot of old like Nintendo arcade games and things like that. His site, smashcat.org, was made in like 2001 or 2002, and it still makes like really good impression even today. So after that, in around 2000, we had the HTML era. Like that was the big revolution in web development because why? You know what HTML means? Your site is HTML when you try to run it in Internet Explorer and it doesn't want let you to do that. So that's the easy way to, you know, check if your site is HTML or not. And so after that during this period we had a lot of games created, you know, mostly using DOM elements, so like this HTML lemmings. Every lemming is just an animated GIF moved with absolute position and moved all over the canvas and things like that. Or, Mario written in 14 kilobytes, also using images and absolute positioning of divs, things like that. But after this, around 2005, we had another big revolution in web technologies called Ajax. And Ajax, like, the previous revolution means completely nothing. Like Ajax, you know what Ajax stands for? Asynchronous JavaScript and JSON, exactly. Like just like P in LAMP stays for Ruby, right? And so we had the browsers changed a little. So we had like Canvas element introduced, and a couple of guys from Netherlands ported old Sierra games like King Quest and Police Quest, and you can play them now online multiplayer. So you can see all other players playing around at the same time. You cannot interact with them, but you can see them, so that's quite nice. Or guys from Norway ported Civilization to Canvas as well. Unfortunately, the project is shut down now because of some law and things like that. Okay, but after this, we had another big milestone in web history called HTML5, and that term means completely nothing, like all the terms before that, because it's just an umbrella term for, you know, new JavaScript APIs, new HTML elements and things like that. But it works. Like when I wrote my first game tutorial for HTML5 on my blog, I called it JavaScript game tutorial, and I have like not even 100 entries from Google, and they changed it to HTML5 game tutorial, and I have around 900 every day now. So yeah, the marketing works. So what is this HTML5 thing about? We had a lot of different terms inside this one big umbrella term in there, and I will talk a little bit about them. So first of all, Canvas. Canvas was developed in Apple for creating widgets for their operating system, but now it's part of HTML standard. So it's a simple two-dimensional drawing API. So, yeah. Example. That's, as I said, I organized a gaming conference. So, you know, I didn't want it to run like a regular site because it's boring. So we made game instead of site. So you just control the astronaut inside the spaceship, and you're just look for. Okay, you can. You need to avoid lasers. Oh, come on. And if you will find a speaker like this one, you can talk to him, and he will introduce himself and say what he will talk about in the conference. Yeah, things like that. So that's a simple drawing API, just basics. Right, nothing more to say. You can just draw images like or primitives like rectangles, whatever. Yeah, but what about 3D graphics in the two-dimensional world? So there are a couple of projects on porting three-dimensional engines to two-dimensional canvas. So that's still two-dimensional thing. But so we draw 3D using 2D API, more or less. It makes sense. Oh, wait a little. Yeah, so that's the simple model renderer with Earth and Sun and stupid things like that, but there is a nice one somewhere here. Oh, that's Wolfenstein, yeah. So that's just two-dimensional canvas with ray tracing and things like that. Yeah, but that was how it looks like a couple of years ago when we didn't have 3D in our browsers. So after that, another interesting thing is our WebSockets. So finally, we can make a multiplayer game that connects your players and allows them to play together without, you know, polling the server all the time. But you can just open a socket and listen to what's happening on the other side. And my favorite example is a Russian port of Bomberman. It's called Bombermine. And it's massive multiplayer Bomberman. So you just play with other players. There is 102 players now on the screen, and I'm like in the middle in here. Okay, and I was killed. And it uses WebSockets and 2D canvas as well, and yeah, every single like character on the screen that's the other player. So what methods of communicating with server do we have? So first of all is simple HTTP, XML HTTP request, right? So that everyone probably knows what's that. Long polling, that is same kind of request, but you don't send the last part of the request. Server is still is not closing the connection. JSON ppolling, more or less same thing, but with cross-origin forever iframes that we don't use it anymore. And Flash sockets, yeah, we don't want to use Flash if we are HTML developers. And we have web sockets. So we have quite a lot of different ways to communicate with server. But we don't need to care about all of them because there are actually libraries that helps us with that. So those libraries just detect what kind of connection your browser supports and fall back to other solutions. So yeah, using the same API, you can you don't need to worry on what kind of browser your user use. And but okay, I'm I'm a client-side developer, so I don't really want to have anything in common with the server side. So is it possible to run to write a multiplayer game without doing anything on the server side? Unfortunately, we cannot use those libraries to do that. But there are a lot of services that helps you with this, like Pusher. So Pusher sends your data and broadcasts it to wherever you want. It's, they have their own API with, and it's really easy to use. Like, and you can use Pusher for a couple of weeks for free. But that's still a server. That's, but we just don't need to care about it. But we have something called WebRTC. So that's the new standard that Mozilla is working on together with Google. And WebRTC is peer-to-peer browser connection and all the APIs around. So you can access your browser's microphone or your webcam, whatever. And so it's now, it will be in the near future, possible to write like Skype-like thing just in the browser without any plugin. And I want to show one example of that. Okay. As I said, I really like to do stupid things online, and sometimes I have too much time. So that's my puzzle game, using your webcam. So you just need to grab a... Okay, not in here. Yeah. To grab a piece, oh, that's quite easy in here. Now, oh, okay, you can cheat like this. And yay. Yeah, so that's WebRTC, part of WebRTC API. You can use your webcam without any plugins and without anything else. I have a lot of... I have a lot of time. Okay, so I will show you another example from that. Because last week I made a talk about face recognition in JavaScript. I'm not sure if those examples still work because I updated my Chrome browser. Okay, so that's... We start streaming our camera to the canvas and draw it in here. And we stop streaming when we detect the face on the screen. That's the first step. The second step is like... Okay. So we have a texture for 3D model, and we put the face that we detect inside the head's texture. And the third part is putting this... Oh, come on. Oh, yeah. So I have a model of me. That's my player now. It detects... So the algorithm detects where the eyes are and where the nose is and puts it's like... So it looks more or less... You know, it makes a little bit sense. So that was the prototype of our game... That was the prototype of our new game for On Game Start New York, that is the one that was in March. But unfortunately, it didn't actually work like expected. But I will show it after that. So yeah, that's WebRTC. Another thing I want to talk about is CSS. So we usually use CSS for changing colors of the background or positioning elements. So it's kind of boring, right? What CSS has in common with games. So the first and one of my favorite part is CSS animations. So you can create an animation like a Lego block. And so, yeah, that's actually a sprite animation. So that's why we used hack, like, do I have a laser in here or anything like that? I don't think so. Okay, so, and we don't want to sprites to just be translated. You know, we need steps. Every frame is a step. That's why we use 24.99. That's from 0 to 24.99. That's the one frame because it has the same value in there. And then we switch to another frame just in the 0.01 percent of the time. Yeah, more or less things like that. So I will show the example. Yeah, that's my favorite thing. Actually, that's why I work at Mozilla. They hired me after doing this demo. You know Nyan Cat? You don't know what's that? Really? Okay, whatever. So that's the CSS only Neoncat version. So like, I don't use any graphics in here. Like, mouth is just a rotated E letter. This rainbow is a gradient, and every star contains like nine divs with white background. And I don't use any JavaScript in here as well, because it's all animated with CSS animations. Yeah, so it's, as I wrote in here, it's 81 DOM elements and almost 700 lines of CSS. But it was worth it. Yeah. But, okay, that's just a stupid demo. So what about like more clever things in CSS? Oh, no. No, not now. That will be a second stupid demo. So we do have a 3D transformation in CSS now. So we can do cool stuff like that. How cool is that, right? And wait for it. Now every div that was used in this has a white border. So yeah, it's really a lot of elements. But yeah, it's also without any JavaScript or... It's just pure CSS and HTML. But is it possible to write a program in CSS? And actually, I never thought that it is, but CSS is Turing complete. And there is one example I found. It's called 101 something. So the input is in the first row, and the output of the center cell. Okay, maybe I will show that. Okay, I don't know where I have it. Okay, you just need to believe me that it works. So, yeah, there is a GitHub address of the repo and the guy who creates that, and it explained over there. But, okay, that's just a boring thing. What about games in pure CSS? Is it possible? So the first example I ever found was a Tower of Hanoi. That's, you know, the game? That's, you can just, you need to take those, like, let's say bricks or whatever, and put them from the first stick to the last stick, but you can only put smaller one on the biggest one, right? More or less. So, yeah, so that's how it works. So you can, it's really small. Okay, I destroyed the surprise, because the idea is that you can do whatever you need to, but... And it's just CSS without any JavaScript, but it has all the states that are possible pre-rendered in here, and it just scrolls the div to the given position when you click on the arrow, and you can see it in here in the address bar. So that's not actually a game, it's just a div with thing. Oh, maybe I will show that. So that's how the game looks like. Okay, thanks. But what about real games? So there are a couple of Japanese guys that actually made real CSS games without any JavaScript or anything like that. Wow. And that's my favorite. You just click on the... alligators or crocodiles, I have no idea what the difference is. And there are points at the top and time on the bottom and... Okay. So this game was written using zero lines of JavaScript code, 46 lines of HTML, and 6,387 lines of CSS. So, yeah, you never want to do that, but it's possible. The idea is that every single alligator or crocodile is just a checkbox. So if you click on it, it changes the rules of everything in the game, so then the point indicator is updating and things like that. That's not actually how you should write games in for the browser, but it's possible. And that's not the most sick example, because there's a guy also who ported some FTP. Where do I have that? Okay. So that's... That's the 3D engine, well, written only in CSS. Okay, the controls are in JavaScript because CSS have no input, but everything is rendered, like every single wall is just a div or something like that. So you can inspect that in browser and inspector. Okay, maybe not in Chrome, I'm not sure. Yeah. But that's just cheating, and that's not how we should write games, because we do have WebGL now, and WebGL is a 3D context of Canvas. It has similar API similar to OpenGL, shader support, and a lot of different things. So I showed you our previous on-game start site and the model things together with... face detection. So that's how the site for the event in March looks like. You control the astronaut. The idea is the same. Like, you control the astronaut on the planet and try to look for speakers. I have no idea where are they. Okay, but that's my favorite part. You can jump in here. And every star has its own gravity. Okay, it doesn't work really good now because I have a lot of different stuff opened. Oh, there is a guy there. Oh, okay, I was killed. Whatever. So, yeah, you can still play it on ongamestart.us. And we have, finally, we had also some tools, not only games. So the guys from London started a startup called Play Canvas, and that's like WebGL 3D editor for games, and they made a clone of Counter-Strike, so it's a multiplayer game with 3D, and so it supports WebSocket for and Node.js for communication, and WebGL for rendering. It also supports the Gamepad API, so you can control if you're with your Gamepad. Unfortunately, I don't have one, and it's too big, too loud now. Okay, I don't think we have time for that. You need to believe me that it works. So we have really a lot of game engines and game frameworks already. Some of them are commercial, some of them are open sourced. In some of them, you don't even need to know how to write JavaScript to code your game, like Construct 2. There is a whole list on GitHub with every engine that is available on market with description and things like that. But still, you need to write JavaScript for doing HTML5 games. And not everyone likes writing JavaScript code, right? So that was the main, let's say, problem for my 5 means really five or okay, so we have a subset of JavaScript language called ASM.js, and it's like JavaScript but with strong typing and things like that. It's run by Mozilla, and it's already loaded in Firefox nightly. And there is a great demo of Unreal Engine written in ASM.js. I'm not sure if we do have time for that, actually. But okay, so it will be loading. You don't actually need to write JavaScript to write HTML5 games. Like, the Rovio a couple of years ago ported their Android Angry Birds using Google Web Toolkits, to HTML5. So the final product was HTML5. We have something called MScripten, so you can compile your LLVM code that you can create, you can compile your, for example, C++ code to LLVM and then cross-compile it to JavaScript, like Banana Bread. That's the another Mozilla demo with... Oh, it works, this ISMJS thing. It doesn't work really good now here, but it works. Yeah, that's... So that's the WebGL game written in ISMJS. Okay, but whatever. Ah! No! Why? Not really. Yeah, so it's like Quake or something like Quake-like game, also multiplayer, so you have a lot of weapons, bots, and maps and whatever. And it's written in C and compiled to JavaScript using mscripten. Come on. Oh, and it used full screen API as well. Yeah. Usually there are some enemies in here, but... Okay, maybe I did something wrong. But yeah, it works smoothly and... It's like a playable game, so it's... So yes, you don't even need to write JavaScript to have a JavaScript game. So what about, we are in a mobile conference, so I will say like a couple of sentences about mobile web. So we have really a lot of mobile devices everywhere. And yesterday, who was on the keynote yesterday? There was a guy who said that we have like around 7 billion people and we have around 4 billion of mobile phones, and we don't even have as many toilets as mobile phones, right? But that's, okay, that's not really surprising because a lot of people can use one toilet, but the surprising thing, not in the same time, but but it's even possible, I think. But whatever. I was surprised that actually only 3.5 billion have a toothbrush. That's surprising. So, yeah, and... Really, that is real statistics. I saw that somewhere on TED conference last year or something like that. I didn't create it today. So, yeah, the first phone that allows you to write native, like JavaScript applications as native was Palm, but we all know that Palm is dead now and no one used that. I think that no one used it ever. So the main problem back in the years, like when I started doing JavaScript gaming for mobiles around 2010 or 9, 10, was that we have really a lot of mobile systems. Like we used to, you need to write Objective-C to write an app, iPhone app, or Java for Android and BlackBerry. Yeah, JavaScript for WebOS, Migo, Symbian, and Bada. That was C, and yeah, whatever. And so we had a solution for that, and we had a lot of like frameworks that helps you to bring your JavaScript code as a native application. So you could, it just more or less the idea was that it creates a web view and with a Chromeless web view and put your document inside, what wasn't working really good. But you had access to all the phone features like that you could not access from the browser. But then Dominik Szablewski, one guy who creates the ImpactJS engine, he wrote the first, I think that was the first time when he actually wrote the cross-compiler from JavaScript Canvas to native OpenGL ES. So if you write your game and you use Canvas API, it just cross-compile it and use it as a, and draw it as a native API. And after that, AppMobi did this as well, and I think it's Intel bought AppMobi like a couple of months ago, and guys from Luday, they were in here yesterday and the day before, so you probably already know their product. And I have no idea why do I have this slide in here, so forget about it. And a little bit of summary. So, yeah, even the biggest Flash games portals like Kongregate or Spiel Games is not a site, but it's like the company that has a lot of sites. They start publishing HTML5 gaming now, and they did only Flash before. We had Firefox OS and Tizen and probably a lot of other mobile systems in the near future that supports HTML5 as the first language. And we have Ouya also. I have no idea how to pronounce it correctly, but that's the... You know what's that? Anyone? Okay, so that's the Android Android gaming console. It costs like $100, and you can play only Android games in here. So, using those tools I showed before, like Luday or AppMobi, you can run your HTML5 apps in here as well. So, HTML5 is the future. Deal with it. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. I really need to smoke. But I have some On Game Start t-shirts. Anyone wants? No one had a question, right? But now everyone wants a t-shirt.
I got a question.
Of course, it's always like that.
So, yeah, HTML5 is the future, but right now it's, most of the games are still developed in native language, right? So from your perspective, what should be improved most to help more game developers to move to HTML5?
But as I said, you don't need to move to HTML5. You can write your game in C or in Java or whatever and compile to, you know, to JavaScript. JavaScript is a new assembler, you know? Like, we have so many languages that compiles to JavaScript that you don't even need to write a single line of JavaScript code to have a, like, HTML5 game as a final product. So we don't force you to write JavaScript if you don't like it, but you still can do HTML5 games. Yeah. I'm not sure if I answered your question, actually, but... Yeah. So, yeah, we definitely need more tools. Like, we don't have a lot of tools now, but... I'm not really good at drawing, but... Yeah. Okay.
My question is, so WebRTC, it seems very practical for peer-to-peer communications, and Node.js is quite good for peer-to-server. Is there some standardized web API... Because Node.js is not a standard that takes the place of WebRTC for client-server communications.
But what I don't think I understand. Like, there is a lot of ways to communicate browser with a server, but Node.js is just a framework that's, you know... can you explain a
little
bit
okay.
more?
Yeah, okay. I've thought of using WebSockets for some projects, which depends on a protocol like IRC or so it seems it's not the preferred way to do it. I guess that's but I don't see WebSocket. That there is one. Yeah.
So WebSocket is part of the standard, but there are some couple of years ago security issues with that, but as far as I know everything is solved and that's the best way to do it. Okay, in my personal project, I use WebSockets. So I think that's the easiest and the best way to do that. But, yeah. Okay, so who wanted the t-shirt? Okay, I have three more. Two more? Three. But those are L. But I think it's American L, so bigger.
Michal, may I have one more question?
Sure.
May I have one more question? Because you said about those cross-compiled things, and I was wondering, what's the performance when you, well, for example, write your application in C++, use some cross-compiling into JavaScript? Isn't it better to write it directly in JavaScript because of the performance?
No. Actually, no, because these cross-compilers know exactly how the JIT just-in-time compiler behaves. So they know what kind of patterns to avoid and how to write your code to be faster and more
optimized. So what's the point in writing JavaScript games in JavaScript?
One more time.
So what's the point in writing JavaScript games
for me,
in
for
JavaScript?
Me, the point is that I don't know how to write games in C.
Okay, so basically, for any other developers, you would rather recommend to stay with their own native like language, yeah, and then use cross-compiling. And
don't sure, you, okay. Why not?
Don't you think that this is this doesn't encourage just to go into the web and to play around?
Yeah,
with
we
the web.
But it never work, you know. So why I need to lie to people if I don't need to? if you are a C developer, write your C games and compile them to JavaScript. I still have an HTML5 game to show during my talks on the conferences, and you still write your C code, right? So everyone is happy. Win-win.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, I have one for you. And who wants the second one? Okay. As I said, I'm not really good at drawing. That's why I'm making games for people and not playing like baseball or things. Okay. Fight! Okay, thanks.